Welcome to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. This is Wendy Grinberg, Parenting Specialist, and today we'll hear from Dr. Wendy Mogul, internationally known clinical psychologist, public speaker, and author. In this segment, The Pain of Raising Children, Dr. Mogul reflects on the challenges and blessings of parenting teenagers.
The Hebrew phrase Tsar Gedul Banim means the pain of raising children. With young children, much of this pain is physical. They wake up at night and you have to do the baby bounce, bounce, bounce until they fall back to sleep. They throw the sippy cup or their whole dinner from the high chair and you retrieve the cup or clean up the mess over and over and over. You have to chase them around the house to get them to brush their teeth. You lean over the bathtub to get them scrubbed and rinsed, and your back begins to ache. They run down the street and you shout, "Driveway, driveway," in terror. They use their outside voices inside and it hurts your ears. But in return, you get giant rewards. In the daytime, they are a treat to look at. Silken hair, soft and dewy skin, chubby legs, every outfit a hit, even when they get muddy or a little scrape. And at bedtime, lying in their soft pajamas and smelling so sweet, they say, "Please tell me one more story. Please don't lie down with me until I fall asleep. I love you, Mommy. You are the bestest mommy in the whole wide world. When I grow up, can I marry you and Daddy and live next door?" But then they grow older, and the tsar, the pain, takes on a different quality. They hurt your feelings, and their appearance hurts your eyes. They grow at an uneven pace and look lumpy and bumpy. They wear very, very tight or very baggy pants. Their butt is showing, and they don't smell like peaches any longer. Your 13-year-old daughter, who wants to go to the mall with no adult supervision until midnight, says, "Mom, you are just making all these strict, bizarre rules because you have a lot of personal problems. And everybody knows this, and they talk about it all the time, Mom. I hear them." They know your weak spots better than your therapist ever has or will. The whole thing feels like a bitter betrayal. How can this be right? How can you hold up? In Exodus, we read that there was a quickie route from slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land, 40 days total, but that God led Moses on the famous roundabout route that took 40 years. And what happened during that long, long slog? A tremendous amount of grumbling, complaining, criticism, and ingratitude, and what psychologists like to call acting out. I recently counted up the number of times the word grumbled is used in the book of Exodus. The people gave Moses a really terrible time. They grumbled constantly. They grumbled against Moses. They grumbled against the Lord. They quarreled with Moses. They just grumbled. And my favorite sarcastic line is Exodus 14:11. The people cried out, "Was it for want of graves in Egypt that you took us to this miserable place?" The Midrash, a commentary in this case on the people's slave mentality, says, "The people begged to go back to Egypt because they missed the melons," a perfect symbol of childhood. The people also demonstrated poor eating habits. Told not to take an extra portion of manna because it would be automatically provided on the Sabbath, they grabbed armfuls anyway. What happened? It turned rancid. It attracted maggots. Then when Moses turned his back for 1 minute to go get the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, the people turned to Aaron and said, "We need to worship something now." And this is what happens when you leave the younger brother in charge. Aaron said, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and we'll build a golden calf and have a really big party. Toga, toga." One interpretation of the choice of the long, long route is that going straight from slavery to the Promised Land would not have given the Israelites sufficient time to mature to get ready for freedom. that this trip across the desert was the adolescence of the Jewish people. If we compare the land of milk and honey to college, the land of beer pong and co-ed dorms and hookups, it's clear that we're taking the same kind of journey with our teens. This long trip, the one that feels like 40 years, means that they'll have a chance to grumble a lot, to let off steam after their 10th days in the emotional wilderness of middle school. They'll learn the consequences of storing a half-open bag of chips under the bed, if not maggots, then ants, and feel the sting of parental approbation and consequences when they throw a toga party while you're out of town. They'll have a chance to grow up before they head out to the promised land. How can a parent hold up? Moses' good father-in-law, Jethro, priest of Midian, chastised him, and he said, "What is this thing you are doing, settling disputes from day to night, exhausting yourself trying to help everyone? This is not the right approach. You will surely wear yourself out and these people as well. The task is too heavy for you to do alone. Seek out those who are known to be wise and allow them to help you. Make it easier for yourself and let them share the burden with you. If you do this, and so God commands you, you will be able to bear up, and all these people too will go home unwearied." A New Yorker cartoon shows two couples talking. The mom of one says to the mom of the other, "We're waiting until the kids die to get a divorce." That's one alternative, but another is to seek others to share the burden with you. Even more than during the mommy and me years, the teen years are a time for parents to band together. When I first started teaching parenting classes to parents of young teens, many of the participants were fairly mum. The pain of teaching parenting classes. I imagine they were thinking, it can't be as hideous and shameful at your house as it is at mine. I thought of the 12-step slogan, make sure you aren't preparing your back room to others' front rooms. But after a couple of weeks, the meeting with these parents were livelier than any other classes I've ever taught. They were filled with dark humor and flowing with mutual compassion. At one meeting around the time of Sukkot, one mother said, "I think of my daughter at this stage in her life, not as my sweet little peach, but as an etrog, kind of homely, bizarrely expensive, but precious and one of a kind." This kind of appreciation can help give us the courage to deal with the long, hard journey, the tsar, that prepares the young adults to exercise wisdom, restraint, and delight once they've reached the land of milk and honey.
Thank you for listening to the Union for Reform Judaism's Parenting Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast by clicking on the RSS button at the top of the podcast page. Let us know what you think and find more parenting resources at urj.org/parent.